one to prove that you've got it. You don't need the help. You can accomplish that. That's usually what's inside of my head. Welcome to the Parable Podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Zapchank. And right now you're going to meet my friend, pastor, and future church planter, Brooke Palmer, discuss what God is teaching her in this season of her life.
That's some part of my story too, is like, how do you trust? Who do you trust? Especially when you've been burned in church so many times. And I know that's the story of a whole lot of people, and not just women either. I mean, just a lot of people. Who do you trust? And throughout all of the ugly, Jesus has always been trustworthy every single time.
Here's my conversation with Brooke Palmer. I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend Brooke Palmer. Brooke, we met, I think, like a year and a half ago at a boot camp down in Atlanta. And I know we had lunch together. We were divided into two groups. So this is like my first time of really just getting a chance to get to know you and hear more of your story. So thank you so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me. That was a fun time in Atlanta. I remember that lunch. It was good.
Yeah. It was in that season of coming out of COVID. I'm just like, everyone, let's all have lunch.
That's right. Let's go and have lunch outside. And it was warm and it was great. Yeah.
It was great. It was. Yeah. Well, Brooke, tell us a little bit about yourself. What is something that you're passionate about? Where do you live? Things like that.
Well, I live out not far from Washington, D.C. I live in the Maryland side of the DMV, is what we call it. And it's about a half hour outside of the city. And I just left a position. I was a pastor at a church out here in Germantown, Maryland. And I'm married to Jeff, who's a kids pastor. So kind of a ministry family. And we have five kids. That's crazy. I know, but between the ages of 10 and 20. And I've had a long story in my life of being put in spaces where I was maybe the only woman. Mm-hmm. I was a musician for 20 years. So before ministry, there was music, but I was a trumpet player. And so I was often the only woman. So something that God has always seemed to put me in is in a place where there's a ceiling to be broken. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of passionate about breaking those, although that's not always easy, but that seems to be where I land. And it's been an important part of my life, just especially being a mom of four girls, just kind of trying to pave a different way for them. So I'm kind of passionate about making space where there isn't space.
I'd be curious, like when you were younger, did you notice that like in spaces? Because, you know, as kids, we're just like, we're playing on the playground. I'm assuming if you're a trumpet player, you were in band class. Like when do you think that that kind of became like a realization for you?
As far back as I can remember, I remember that. Like I, even in elementary school, I played basketball and I'd play football. I just found myself in the middle of where all the boys were. So as long as I can remember, that just seems to be where it was. I don't know why, but I mean, I always had some friends that were girls, but I've always been in those places where like, I can do this too. Mm-hmm. I can beat you all at basketball, you know? You know? I mean, I remember that. So for a very long time. Yeah. Most of my life.
Now, did you have brothers and sisters?
I'd did love not. To
know. Okay.
So yeah. I was an only child. Yeah.
All right.
Only child.
Yeah. I feel that only child energy then. I get it. I'd love to know, like, from the trajectory of like wanting to play the trumpet, you were successful in that. Like, what shifted? Like, how did you get into ministry and decide, you know what, I'd like to teach?
I mean, that was a pretty wild story. So I was playing trumpet and was living in Michigan. That's where I grew up, actually, was in Michigan, and started volunteering at my church after we had our first daughter. Jeff and I had our first daughter, and teaching kids, you know, teaching her little 3-year-old class, you know, and all that stuff, and got my husband involved, and he kind of caught the bug for ministry. I went to seminary, and I kept on with music and just volunteering, and then being the pastor's wife for a lot of years. But then one summer, we were teaching at a camp together, a church camp. And I was sitting in, you know, one of the services, and a pastor, he looked like right in my direction. Now, this is a big room, huge room. So it wasn't like he was looking at me, but I felt like he was looking right at me. And he said, somebody in this room is being called to ministry. And I just felt it like pierce, like right through my heart, like, That's me. And that didn't make a lot of sense logistically at that time. I was staying home with a bunch of kids and my husband was a pastor. I didn't live near a seminary. You know, I lived in the middle of a farm in Indiana and it didn't make a lot of sense. But I was like, okay, well, let's see where this goes. And about 6 months later, we ended up living in St. Paul, Minnesota, right next to the seminary that my husband went to. And so I enrolled and I was kind of a weird student because they asked me, so what are you going to do with this? Like, why do you want to get this degree? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I just know I'm supposed to get it. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it, though. Yeah. I'm going to get it. It was just kind of this obedience thing. And then as I went through it, I wasn't even really convinced that I should speak or should be a pastor as a woman. You know, like I wasn't even convinced of that yet. But along the way, I began to really feel strongly that this was what God had for me and made a complete switch in careers and paths. And I can see through all of it, even from like playing basketball with the boys to 20 years of trumpet playing to now that God has been preparing me to be in this kind of space and lead in a way that looks different than the church culture tends to look. So it really was just God saying, hey, you know, and then just having the courage to say, okay, I'll go. I don't know what we're doing here. But I'll go.
I love that. Yeah. I think sometimes most people can relate to that. We don't know what God is going to continue to use this for, but we're just like, well, I guess I'm along for the ride. And so I think that's so relatable, Brooke. There's many of us that feel that same kind of, I feel like this is a calling, but I'm not sure. So thanks for speaking into that. One thing before we get to your parable story, I saw, you know, within the last year, for people are familiar, there was a huge revival at Asbury and you went, and I know that that was a huge moment for you. And so I saw it on Instagram and I'm like, someday I'm going to ask her about it. And so today's the day. Okay. I would love to hear just like what your experience was like there.
That was unexpected. So I had had a day that I decided to drive out. I had had a day that was so bad. I mean, it was so bad. Like a relationship, a work relationship just took a turn that I didn't see coming. And it was just painful. I mean, it was just painful. I was heartbroken. And I went home and I kind of retreated to my room and I put on TikTok because what else are you going to do? So I'm scrolling through TikTok and seriously, it was like every single thing in my feed was Asbury. Uh-huh. And then I got caught on like a live. There was a live video of it going on. And I just felt really strongly like the Holy Spirit was like, you need to go. But I live 8 hours from Kentucky. Like, this is not like hop over a couple of miles to Asbury. And so I'm just like, well, that's a little crazy. But okay. So I'm just like, I finally said to my husband, I think I need to go to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you serious? Like, he thought I'd lost my mind, right? I'm like, okay. Yeah, I think I do. He's like, well, you can find a place to stay. Go. So I did. And I got in the car. I drove all night.
Yeah.
And I got there right at noon the next day, which it was pouring rain. That's when they opened the doors. So I got in a big line in the rain. We're all soaking wet. And I got one of the last seats in the actual room because they had chapels open all over the campus to live stream it because there were so many people there. But what was striking about it is, you know, I walked into this old chapel, right? And it was so simple. It wasn't like my church experience is, you know, places I go are like lights and screens and maybe a little fog, you know, like that's my vibe usually, right? But it was so simple. It was a guy and a guitar and everybody singing and dripping wet and crying. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit was like just there, just so heavy. And so I go to this place just completely broken, you know, like my heart was broken. And then a man got up and spoke and he was like, he called pastors to stand up. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, great. Okay. I'm getting called out. I just got here. I'm soaking wet. And he asked us to repent of some things, which that seemed a little like outside of my comfort zone, like to be called out to repent in front of a bunch of people. But what he asked was to repent of working so hard, separate of God. like such a pastor thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like you work and work and work hours and hours and hours, but you do so much of it in your own strength. And sometimes, mm-hmm. If you're not a pastor, it may sound weird, but sometimes it's like you kind of forget almost. Like you forget to go to God first. You're like, well, I've got all these tasks and I can just do all this. And you just go and go. And he's like, a lot of you are just leaning on yourself and not God. And I was like, yeah, me. Yeah. And so then it was there like 8 hours and it was a lot of singing. People like were being healed of things. People were just going forward and being prayed for. And it was all led by like Gen Z, which was the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Just all these young people. Then it was really just, I started to feel like so close to God. So I came just hurting. And now I felt like, oh, like I felt like I did when I first met Jesus, mm-hmm. And I had been praying for that for a while. Like, I just want to feel like I did in the beginning, like when I was a teenager and I started to feel that way. And I was like, I think I need to go though, because it's been like 8 hours and I haven't eaten or had anything to drink, like I need to go. So I stood up. I just felt God said, you need to go forward before you go. You need to go forward. And so I did. And I just got down this like altar and this woman came to pray for me. And I asked her to pray specifically for just like the hurt I was feeling and for trauma from my past.
Yeah.
And she started praying and praying specific things that she wouldn't have known about me.
Mm.
And she's praying them. And I was like weeping.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she prayed for peace. And my whole body, I just stopped crying. Everything just felt peace.
Mm.
Like peace I can't explain.
Wow.
And part of like, that repenting that I talked about and that really working hard and all of that, my body was just so like, I was in so much pain all the time. My arms, like I couldn't even move one of my arms all the way up, like just such pain all the time. And it just all went away.
Wow.
All of it went away. And then they started singing. They sang the first two songs I ever learned in a church when I was 16. Random. Like, why? It was amazing. People are, debated on social media. Was it really a revival? I don't even care. All I know is that the Holy Spirit was heavy there. And I learned so much about how to tell when I'm close to him and when I'm not.
Yeah.
I feel like I had forgotten that whole, like, how to sense when I'm really abiding with him and when I'm not. And I feel like, okay, I remember now. And he really just changed a lot in my heart, in my mind, and physically, too. I could, like, move. Amazing. So it was a crazy idea, but I'm glad I did it. Just like when I decided to go to seminary, one of those crazy, like, Brooke, go do this thing.
Okay. Yeah, we just don't know. Gosh, thank you so much for sharing that. Like, you were the only person that I vaguely knew who was there. And like, I just really want to know what it felt like. And, it's one of those mountaintop moments where you come at a point where you're just, like you said, you had this relationship, you felt broken at work, and just to like lay it at his feet and physically, and I understand the stress of being in ministry, like, because we care about it so much. We want people to feel and experience what we felt at one point at this mountaintop moment. But it can get jaded. It can be stressful. It can be we've carried now that burden on ourselves rather than shifting that burden on him. So, wow, so cool. God is so good to like provide us those spaces, even when we just saw something on TikTok and we're like, are we supposed to do this? just leaning in. I feel like I haven't had exactly the similar thing, but I've had those moments, those flickers of just like, I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this. And I just want to lean into that more.
Right.
So thanks for that reminder, Brooke. Thanks for sharing that. So we started off really good. We could end it here, but I know you came with a parable. So I'd love to hear what else you'd like to share with us today.
It's been an interesting run since Asbury to now. Just, I'd like to say that the story is like, and then everything was perfect. The end. I'd love to say that. But that's not how that worked. You know, like there's so many things that have been good. But the way I thought maybe the path would go afterward, it turned out it was a different path. I thought maybe like everything would be restored and it was more revealed, no, it's time to move and do something else. And there was a lot of pain in that. and a lot of fatigue. And so one thing that I keep coming to is the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus, where he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I have put that on repeat. You know, I've read it. I've listened to it on The Chosen a bunch of times. I mean, like anywhere I can find that, I'm just like, I have got to hear this, because I have felt like coming off that mountaintop, I've had moments where I've been like, you know what? Maybe this is just enough. Like maybe God was just like, this is enough. Go do something else. But that's not it. It's just that same repentance story from Asbury of, you're supposed to come to me first. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And so I often feel like the woman who was healed from bleeding. Like, I feel like throughout my life in the church specifically, like, it's been wrought with people saying, you can't do this because you're a woman. You can't do this. You can't be influential. You need to be quiet. You need to only do, you know, whatever the little box is. And I feel like in that moment, you know, she just touched that fringe and she was healed and all that was gone. I feel like Jesus is telling me, like, okay, enough now. Now we've got something to do together. Like, that's all healed and it's time to let it go, because we've got something better to do together. So come to me, come to me. And I think that's really hard because I'd like to just do everything on my own.
Yes.
Like, I think I'm pretty smart and capable and driven and tenacious. And I love all those words. But where those words got me were broken and in pain and not feeling well and in a car to Kentucky for 8 hours. So I'm thinking that, come to me, because I'm the only one that can give you rest. And by the way, the only one that you can really trust. That's some part of my story, too, is like, how do you trust? Who do you trust? Like, especially when you've been burned in church so many times. And I know that's the story of a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Not just women either. I mean, just a lot of people. Who do you trust? And boy, I got to tell you, throughout all of the ugly, Jesus has always been trustworthy every single time without fail. And so that's what I'm learning. That's where my story is at the moment. It's remembering to come to him first. There's just nowhere else trustworthy to go. And it's where I feel better. You know, I don't feel the pain and the weight of it all.
We are very similar in the same sense, Brooke. I have the same verse. It's hanging where I can see it all the time. And I love it. I love that verse, but it's like a daily physical response that I have to do over and over. And so I guess I'd love to ask you if you feel like that has been always a part of your life or only in certain seasons. Because, you know, we grow and we learn things over and over. And I don't believe that any of us will ever be like, I've arrived. I've figured it out. Not this side of heaven. Has that always been a struggle for you?
Yeah, always. I mean, I didn't grow up knowing Jesus. Okay. So I didn't know Jesus till I was 16 and I had a car and I knew some friends who went to church and I drove myself. That's like how I learned about Jesus. I just drove myself to a church. But so I grew up like just in a family where I knew I needed to achieve. And so I became very good at achieving with my own strength, my own intelligence, my own drive. I mean, what I've learned as I've gotten a bit older is that those habits that I've learned early on in life are very difficult to break. They just are at the core of who you are. So I've always had trouble just come to me, you know, that's tricky. And even with, you know, God as a father, I think a lot of people I've encountered, you know, through ministry, the idea of God as a father is messy. So I often, through it all, is like, well, I don't want to bother him. Like if it's really big, maybe I'll come to him. But if it's small, I can probably take care of that. That kind of a thing has always been a struggle. Yeah, that's a long learned habit for sure.
You don't have to answer this. Can I ask, what was the relationship like with your dad?
Oh, with my dad. Yeah. Well, I mean, I loved my dad. He was an alcoholic. So while I loved him because he was my dad.
Yeah, of course.
It was tricky, you know, because he wasn't sober. And so the achieving thing was to try to get him to be better. You know, if I'm all A's and I'm best trumpet player and the this and that and the other, then he'll notice. So it was a tricky relationship and didn't really realize as a kid even that that was, I mean, I was a kid, right? So I didn't realize that was a thing until he passed. He passed when I was 21.
Oh, wow.
And so then I was like, whoa, I've been carrying a lot. So that relationship with my father and then thinking of God as my father has been one that has taken a lot of work to figure out that it's not the same.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of therapy to figure that out, which is good. It's good. And I finally have figured that out. Like I can call God my father and that's good. He's the good one. I think a lot of people have that though, you know,
oh, absolutely.
Just all kinds of hangups.
Sure.
Dad, their dad.
Yeah.
And so how could this dad be any better, you know?
Yeah. And even dads that were amazing, just because we are human. So I know that my children will need therapy from me. Not because like I didn't try, but I just, I'm a human. And so I'm giving them certain traits or it's just the reality. So hopefully not too much, but just kidding. But, you know, I'd like to ask you too, you have five kids. And so how do you, I appreciate you just being like, I've been a pastor, but yes, I still deal with this. I've had to repent of this and work through this. So I guess what would be some encouragement either that you've learned as you parent your own children or just try to like figure this out, like how is it working for you? And I know that that's not going to be the cookie cutter response for everybody, but how's it working for Brooke?
Just the parenting and the
parenting or even just like how that now that you've had like that realization, and I know it's going to come back every now and then. How do you manage that? How do maybe what practices help you hone that in?
Okay, so this is going to sound kind of funny, but one thing Jeff and I, my husband Jeff and I early on, one thing we decided when we were parenting, okay, so this is how our parents would have done this. What would be the opposite thing to do and what would that look like? Maybe let's try that. You know, and not in everything, you know, but like, but there are times where it's like, I think we should turn the other way. Like, I think we should just try. And that's a thing about, I think, with parenting or with anything in life, like, let's just try it. Let's try something. Right. And then the other thing that we've always tried to do, and I think we've done pretty well at it, is let our kids explore what they love rather than trying to impose what we want them to do, you know? And I think as parents in general, that's hard. Like if you like for me, like I was a trumpet player for 20 years, right? So professionally. So I naturally want them all to be trumpet players, right? But I didn't do that. I was like, I'm not going to do that. And I didn't get a trumpet player until number five. He's just started playing trumpet. Like none of them played it. I'm like, well, that's fine. My son, he's 10. Up until this year has taken ballet since age four because he loved it. And you know what? Right. Some people are like, well, he's a boy. He should do whatever, but he loved it. So let's do it. And now he's like, I want to play football. Okay. You know, like, let's do something different. I try to let them direct what they love. And that's worked, I think, you know, and it, I try not to push them to do whatever I think they should do or be, you know, I see a lot of that in where the area where we love, you know, I'm an engineer, so my kid's going to be an engineer, you know, and I'm going to make them achieve at math. But this kid I have achieves at art. So let's just do that. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's so good, Brooke.
Yeah.
Both you and I are a part of a Women's Speakers Collective, and one of the things that they have been putting out lately is this blog on rest. Everyone can read it, so I'll put a link in the show notes. And the one entry that I read today, it was just talking about, you know, this vine of just, you know, sometimes it's dormant, but just because it's not producing fruit doesn't mean that it is not being useful. It's still a vine. And so I just thought about like the times when, you know, we're dormant, even when you were talking about when you were raising your kids and you're like, I'm a pastor's wife, or I'm just, you know, yes, my husband's going to seminary. Like we have these seasons, and even Asbury, where there's something, there's a shift, and you're right. Not everything is going to be perfect, but God's using it. So I know you're kind of in this season right now, but how do you feel like God's moving? Like you can see him using this in maybe this dormant time for you.
Yeah, I think one thing that I've seen, so I didn't work for like a month and a half at all. And I needed that. Like I needed to rest, like literally not work on anything for anybody else. And if things didn't happen like they did, I would just have kept going, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was forced to rest. And so I feel like God is like giving me space to separate from what was to what's gonna be. I don't know if that makes sense, but like I was one place and I don't think in retrospect that I could have stayed in that place and then immediately gone to the next. And I'm still in that, like, I need more space, you know, from what was not working and what was painful. And then I also, now I'm working toward church planting, which I'm really getting excited about. But I'm still in this little in-between before our next big event that we go to for the next step of it. And I'm teaching. So I'm teaching in a school, which is something I've done in the past. And so I kind of jumped in and took this 7-week job to cover for a teacher. And I'm learning. God's using a different context for me to learn some things I had forgotten. Like I'm learning what it's like to work collaboratively with people. Like where I've been, that hasn't been a thing. Like it's been, you're on your own. And so I'm like working with people again, and it's functional. It's really functional and supportive, and people are nice. And so I feel like God's like, here was some rest. And now let me show you how people can work together again. Mm-hmm. And let me show you how people lead and how people are a boss. I'm learning things that I needed to be reminded of in the in-between in a way I didn't expect. But I need it and it's good. And I'm going to be able to use all of that, even though it's not in a church right now. I'm going to be able to use all of that I'm learning. Absolutely. All of it.
Yeah. I like what you said about having like this in-between season, because it makes me think about when I was younger, my mom's dad had cancer. Like he wasn't doing really well. But one of my girlfriends, her family invited me on this trip to go to Disney World. And they had an odd number of kids. So I'm like, heck yes. But it was at this time where my grandfather was at the end of life. And he said, go. And my mom encouraged me. And so we did. And of course, like day one, he passed away. And you know, you're young, but my mom's like, go ahead, it's okay. Like, and so they had the funeral and everything without me. And this is not meant to be like a sad story in the sense of for my parents, like they did what they thought was best. But for me, I guess what I look back now, I never had that closure. And so like, even like a year or two later, I'd still be like sad about it. And I just didn't understand grief. And I think that whether we're changing jobs or occupations or passions or maybe relationships even, we need that space. And I think our culture is so quick to be like, you got to get to the next thing. You got to achieve the next goal or the next level. And we don't give ourselves that space. And that goes really back to rest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I appreciate that you shared that and you also took the time. And that's super hard for me. I tell myself all the time. And sometimes it changes because it's so different. But I'm so glad about that for you, Brooke. What's something exciting that, you know, as you're diving into this world of church planting, what is, besides like meeting nice and fun people that you're working well with, what's something that you are excited about that you're just like, wow, I never thought about that, because this is a whole new field for you.
Yeah, it is whole new. But you know what I'm really excited about is I didn't like step into this lightly. I started exploring this idea almost a year ago. So before any Asbury or anything happened, you know, and what I'm really excited about is creating a culture from the beginning. I feel like God has had me in so many dysfunctional church cultures, many of which would have said, Brooke, you can't do what you think you can do. And I am so excited to work with God and start something that is like, however you're called and gifted, you get to do that here. It's so hard to change a culture, Danielle. It's like,
oh gosh, yeah.
It's like turning an ocean liner. It's like so, so difficult. And the excitement I have over saying, here's where it is going to start and here's what it's going to be, I'm thrilled. It makes all the years worth it to be like, okay, this is what it should be. Let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really excited about it.
That's fantastic, Brooke. Yeah. If people are wanting to get connected to you or learn more about you, or maybe once you start this culture shift, they want to get on board. How can they do that?
Well, they could follow me on Instagram, which is just BAPalmer00. Or you can look up, it's Brooke Palmer Speaks on the GoDaddy site. So .godaddysites.com.
Okay. So everything will be in the show notes in case you are wanting to connect with Brooke. Brooke, thank you so much for just kind of taking us through this season of your life and the reality of like, it's okay to like sit in this, you know, to rest and to just be open to what God is continuing to do. And I just continue to pray for you and whatever church planting comes your way. Like, this is so exciting. So I'm very excited for you. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much, Danielle. It's been fun to talk to you.
Wasn't that great? It was just so honest and also encouraging at the same time. Plus, like, what a moment at Asbury. That's so cool. I'm just so grateful that I could hear that story. To connect with Brooke, simply visit DanielleZapchank.com for details. And here are two reflection questions from our time with Brooke. Number one, what is a way you can truly sense that you are abiding in God? And that is going to be completely different than everyone else. So don't worry, there's not some formula. But what will be that marker for you as you head into the future, as you head into your next day, because we're all going to get off track. That is just the reality of life. So what is that marker for you to know, okay, yes, I'm abiding in God? Number two, I'd love for you just to spend some time and read the Sermon on the Mount. It is in Matthew chapters 5-7, and hear what God is speaking to you. That is going to have that verses that Brooke talked about of come to me who are weary, but there's so much more packed into that amazing sermon. So please take some time and read that for yourself. One easy way you can support the Parable Podcast is simply by sharing this episode with a friend. If you could pass that along, maybe encourage somebody today who is just kind of feeling in the same place that Brooke is. It really helps people know that they're not alone and that there are so many amazing parable stories out there. Thank you to my technical producer of a husband for making us sound so fancy today. That's going to do it for today. I'm grateful that you took the time to spend it with me. Remember, your parable showcases how he always provides revival when you need it. We'll see you back again next week on the Parable Podcast.